on the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, likewise in Luke, and also in Matthew, we find also this account of Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. We find Jesus came across the sea, and when he came across the sea, great multitudes of people gathered round about him. And there came a ruler of the synagogue, and fell down before him, a man by the name of Jairus, and besought him greatly, that he would come and lay his hands upon his daughter, who was at the point of death, and then she would be healed, and she would live. This ruler, Jairus, he was one of the chief men in the synagogue in the city of Capernaum. The Jews, they built these synagogues right after they came back from their captivity in Babylon. They were spread throughout the land, and the Jews used these places to gather for prayer and for reading of the scriptures. They had no one in their synagogues such as we have in our churches. We have a minister, we have a pastor in most churches that lead the congregation, but the Jewish synagogue had no such thing. They had three rulers, and the chief ruler, he regulated the conduct and likewise the services of the synagogue. And when he seen someone in the audience that he felt was educated and was well able to read and to give a word of exhortation to the people, he would call on such a one to get up and speak to the audience. You may find this to be the truth as I'm explaining it to you, because when Christ entered into the synagogue, we find likewise that the ruler would look at him and ask him if he had a word to speak. Likewise, in the Acts of the Apostles, we have Paul entering into the synagogues too, and there he was exhorted to give a word to the audience. And this man was one of these rulers that had charge in this particular synagogue. And now he had heard much of Jesus Christ. He had heard of the many miracles and wonders that Christ had done. And now his only daughter, who was 12 years of age, she lay a-dying. And now this ruler, he came to Jesus, and he fell down at his feet in an attitude of worship. He had such great reverence and such great respect for Jesus. Regardless whether he was a ruler and the people looked at him, that didn't mean anything to him. He came to Jesus. He had a true need in his soul. He likewise had a true need in his home. His daughter was dying. She was at the point of death. The only one that he had, the apple of his eye, the darling of the family. And there he went to Jesus. He believed, he had faith, as we may see in this, that he came and besought Jesus greatly. I pray you, he says, come down to my house. We see in this likewise his faith, that if Jesus came and laid his hands upon his daughter, she would be healed and she would live. We find in the Gospel of Matthew that he came and said to the Lord, my daughter is already dead, but come and lay thy hands upon her and she shall live. How wonderful was the faith of this man. And he believed then if Jesus came, if he would go along with him and put his hands on his daughter, then she most certainly would be healed and would be saved. She would be spared. She wouldn't die. Now this man then was in great anxiety. He was in great concern. And I'm sure some, maybe they're listening to me, they have had maybe a case similar to this. They've had their only child or one of their children, probably deathly sick. And oh, how concerned are parents when one of their children becomes sick, especially if it's the only one. And oh, how they resort likewise to physicians, and how they also resort to God, that he may make them well. We see then in this man that he lay at the feet of Christ. You read in scripture, whenever any of the saints had a revelation of Christ, they always fell at his feet. And this man then believed that this was the God-man, that this was the Messiah, and that he had power and the ability to make his daughter whole. But the question was, would he go along with him? And we read, and Jesus went with him, and great multitudes followed him and thronged him. Oh, we may be sure that the faith of this man was immediately encouraged. Oh, he had great hopes now and great expectations. Jesus went with him. Oh, my hearers, if Jesus condescends to go along with us, we have an almighty friend. We have one that can do more than what we could ask or pray for. And he went along with this man. Now, this man's faith was not as strong as the centurion that had sent to Christ for his servant who was sick. He said to Christ, "You needn't come down to my house. I'm unworthy that thou should come under the roof of my house, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Now, this man needed Christ to come. We notice in this the various characters that came to Christ and in what position and what frame of mind and of soul they were. Jesus knew this. And according to this, this is the way he went. And therefore he went with this man. And great multitudes followed out of curiosity. They had heard what had taken place between Jesus and this ruler, and they followed to see what would happen. They wanted to see a miracle performed. And now, as they were all following him, there came a certain woman who had an issue of blood, 12 years. And she came in the press behind Christ. Now, this woman, she had been afflicted with this disease. And for 12 long years, she had went from one physician to another. And she had become no better, but she became worse. And she had spent all that she had. And now she likewise had heard of Christ. I wish to press this fact upon you, my hearers, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. These characters that came to Christ, they were given to hear about him, and the word found root in their hearts. And by this word coming into their hearts, faith was given unto them to believe. And likewise with this woman. And she had heard about Christ. She had heard what wonders he had done. And the more that she heard about him, the more that she became convinced that he could help her. And now we see her pushing through the multitude of people to get near to Christ. She said, "If I but touch the hem of his garment," she says, "I shall be made whole." What faith this woman had, wrought in her heart by the Spirit of God, that all she had to do was touch him, and she would be immediately made whole. And we see her coming up through the multitude of people, pressing through them to get near to Christ. And when she got near to him, she touched him. And immediately after she had touched him, virtue went out of him. And she felt in her body that she was made whole of the plague that had been troubling her. She came just like a thief. She came because she couldn't explain to everybody what was the matter with her, what sort of a disease she had. She came just to touch him and to go away again. This was what she planned to do. But when Christ noticed that virtue had went out of him, he turned around and he says to the disciples, "Who touched me?" Well, they said, what a question to ask. Who touched you? Everybody's thronging you. Everybody seems to be touching you. "No," he says, "I have noticed," he says, "that virtue has gone out of me." And he turned around, and I'm sure he looked right at that woman. Oh, when he looked at her, then she came and fell down at his feet and worshiped him, telling him all the truth. Oh, I could put in words probably just what she said. She said, "Lord, you know my case. You know how many years I've been with this disease. You know how many physicians I went to. You know, I spend all my money and I have nothing. And now you brought that faith in me to come to you, and I touched you, and I've been made whole. She told him all the truth about herself. And we find that Jesus spake unto her and said, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go ye in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Oh, what wonderful words these were, my hearers. Just suitable for her case. She fell down, fearing and trembling. Not that she was afraid that she was going to be exposed, that she had done something wrong. No, she fell down, fearing and trembling, in the presence of him with whom she had to do. And there she told him everything that she had passed through. And the Lord spoke unto her and said, Daughter. Oh, what an endearing title he gave unto this woman, Daughter. I'm sure there are some listening to me that would greatly desire that the Lord would say, Daughter, to you, that you would know that you were one of his daughters. Oh, to be a son or a daughter of the Lord God Almighty means so much in this life, my hearers. And he spake unto her, thy faith. He honored that faith that she had, that faith of which he was the author, in which he had placed in her heart and had brought her to his feet, brought her to touch, so that she was made whole. And go in peace. Oh, she had had much experience with physicians. She had suffered so much pain, so much anxiety, so much discouragement. Every time she went to one, she thought maybe he would help me, but he couldn't. And she had suffered so much by the hands of these physicians, and she was so filled with concern and anxiety, and now he says, go in peace. You don't have to fear anymore. Your plague is made whole. You're delivered from it. Go ye in peace. You are delivered from your plague. And my hearers, let me take you back to the beginning of this narrative. And we find then that this woman, she came in the throng. There were a great multitude of people thronging Christ to follow him, to see the wonders and the miracles that he did. It isn't any different today, my hearers. There are great multitudes that are being pressed upon to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept him, and you shall be saved. Many people, they follow the multitude. Many people are talked into accepting Christ by a preacher that's eloquent and that has the gift of holding people spellbound. There are so many people that follow Christ out of mere curiosity. So it was with these people. They had no spiritual life. They had no new birth. They had no faith. And they just followed him in this way. And so many people follow Christ today in the same way. But there was in this multitude one woman, and she had a case. Oh, she had a disease, my hearers. She had something that had to be healed, that had to be cured. And therefore she came to Christ. And now, my hearers, we all have this disease, every one of us. This disease I would call sin. Every one of us know we're sinners, but it don't trouble us. It don't bother us. We can live in it, we can enjoy ourselves in it, and we're never disturbed on account of it. As long as we don't break out in some outward deed that somebody would put their finger on us, oh, we're good people. Still, my hearers, that we have this disease, sin. How many live unconcerned in this state and in this condition? And I am afraid so many perish in their sins. But there was now one woman. Oh, maybe there's only one here. I know not. One that's troubled with sin, troubled with this dreadful disease. Oh, my hearers, when God opens the heart and opens the eyes to give and to see what sin is, oh, what a disease it is. Oh, the whole man and the whole woman are just covered with sin. When God discovers unto us this disease, And we find out more and more that from the head to the crown of our feet, we are filled with this loathsome disease. Man is practically nothing else but evil and sin within. This is our case. This is our state. And God discovers this to his dear children and to them only. For they are troubled because of their sins. And my hearers, just as this woman, as she went to so many physicians, she tried to be cured of this disease, and she spent all the money that she had. Have you tried to do that, soul that's listening to me? You felt that you were a sinner, and oh, you began to make resolutions, you began to make promises. Why, you began to turn away from sin. You couldn't go along anymore with it. Oh, you made so many vows that if God would listen to you, God would hear you, you would be a better woman, a better man, you would live better. And you began to do that with hopes of being saved, with hopes that God would show favor to you. And now, just as it went with this woman, oh, she spent everything that she had, and the physicians were of no value. And so you've spent your strength, you've spent everything that you've had. And she gradually got worse and worse. Has it come to you like that? Have you become worse and worse in your feelings? Has sin got the upper hand over you? Or have you fell down and said, Lord, this sin, this disease that I have, I can't deliver myself from it. Have you been brought to that position that if Jesus does not save you, you will be eternally lost? With all your attempts to make yourself better, you have gotten worse and worse. Is it so with you? Do I hear one say, oh, I don't have any faith to lay hold on Christ. I don't have any faith to come to him. And I'm such a sinner. I'm afraid I'm going to die like this. I'm afraid I'm going to be lost forever this way. I'm afraid that I'll never find Christ. Are you? Is this your case? Have I disclosed it to you? I think you are very near to the healing touch. For when it becomes a hopeless case with us, when we have no more expectation, and when we think that everything is wrong and everything is lost, that's the time when Christ comes and puts faith in our heart to come to him. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, did this woman receive. This faith had him as the object. This faith held before her view his power, his love, his pity, his compassion. Have you ever seen anything of it, my hearers? Has it held above you, above all your sins, above all your backslidings, above all what you've done in this life? Have you been given by faith to see that he's willing, that he's able? Oh, how this brings us to him. It brings us through all the throngs of doubts and fears and unbelief which prevail in us. We persevere by faith and come to his feet, knowing that if we but could put our finger upon him, then we would be made whole. Oh, how blessed are they that have even this faith which is as a grain of mustard seed. Oh, I hope there may be some amongst my hearers that they likewise are like this woman, getting worse and worse. That's what I wish for you. That isn't a very good wish, is it? But then you will have Jesus coming to heal you, then you will experience that you will be given to touch him by faith. And then you will find him speaking unto you. Oh, what wonderful words he spake to this woman, daughter. Oh, how many of you would like to be a daughter of the Lord God Almighty? Oh, to have him say, daughter. Why, that seals it. That makes it true. That gives you the belief that you are one, if he says so. Isn't this what you want, seeking so, longing so? Oh, wouldn't you want him to say to you, daughter, son, be of good cheer, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven thee? all my hearers. She likewise heard him say, thy faith hath made thee whole. All that faith that he has given unto you will someday be honored by Christ himself. And he will say, that faith which I have given unto you has likewise made you whole. Or then you will experience that he will forgive all your sins. When your iniquities will be sought for, they cannot be found. For he will pardon the sins of his people. And this is what they long and desire to experience, that all their sins would be cast into the depths of the sea. Oh, how blessed would such a soul feel himself to be. If Jesus then said, go in peace, ye are whole of this thy plague. Oh, to go in peace, knowing that no sin, no doubts, no fear, no unbelief can ever disturb this peace that Jesus has made by his suffering and by his death. Then we will experience something of what the apostle says. He is our peace. This peace which passeth all understanding. All my hearers, how blessed are they that have received that what the apostle speaks of. We then, justified by faith, have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This woman, she was blessed by the Lord by being made whole of her plague. How often, my hearers, in this life, does it not go just as it did with this woman? How many that are listening to me have had probably your spouse, probably your husband or your wife or one of your children, they likewise have had a disease. And this disease troubled you so, you brought them to this physician, to that physician. You spend all the money that you had to make this person well. But instead of getting well, it got worse and worse. Oh, how discouraging. Oh, my hearers, those that have experienced this, oh, they have sometimes given up all hope. It is only when we come to the end of finding help of man, then we find that Christ is ready to help. How many amongst my hearers have spent everything they have to spare the life of one that they love, one that was near and dear to them, and they found that that person got worse and worse instead? How many that are in that state and condition themselves take their lives? Not only probably a month ago, someone told me of a woman that had experienced 7 operations, and she had to go through another one. She couldn't face it, so she took her own life. Oh, my hearers, when we get discouraged and when we get despondent, oh, if Satan comes in, then he will tempt us likewise to take our life. That's the easy way out. My hearers, it is not. It's the way to eternal misery, to eternal pain. May God keep my hearers from such things. And now when this woman was spoken to in this manner, we find there comes one from the ruler's house and says unto the ruler, don't disturb the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. Oh, what a blow this must have been to this man. He had such high hopes. He had such expectations. He had such faith and exercise to believe that if Jesus came and put his hand on his daughter, she would be made well. But now somebody comes and says, no use. She's dead. No use you troubling the master anymore. But now when Jesus heard what this man said to this ruler, he turns to the ruler and says unto him, fear not. Believe only. Do you believe that I could make her whole? Had you that faith in the beginning? Believe yet. I am still the same. I am able to make her well. Oh, what comforting words they must have been to this man when this blow come to him. Oh, fear not, believe only. And we find that Jesus went, and he took with him Peter, John, and James, and he went into this house where this damsel, who was 12 years of age, had passed away. You know, the Jews, they made preparation immediately to bury somebody. They buried them the same day. And usually they called on some minstrels. They called on wailing women to come into the house. And they were paid for this work. They would come in and they would lament and wail to make everybody cry. This was the form and the procedure when somebody was to be buried amongst the Jews. These women, they would cry with a loud and a mournful wail. But as soon as the person was buried, they went away and they forgot all about the person that died. They'd go to the next house and do the same thing. And now this teaches us something too, my hearers. You know, you may go to a funeral too. I've been to many. And I've seen some people, they carry on something awful. You don't know what to do with them. They're wailing, they're weeping, they sometimes even pass out. Now that isn't true mourning, my hearers. You know a true mourner? They'll turn away from the multitude, they'll go and hide themselves somewheres, and they'll begin to cry and to weep to themselves. Now, these are the ones that are true mourners. Those that are carrying on so in the front of everybody to make a show, they're just like what I'm talking about, these wailing women. As soon as the person's buried, they forget all about it, and they have no more mourning or sorrow for it. And Jesus, when he came there, he told them to get out. Oh, they said, she's dead. No, he says, she is not dead, but she sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, it says. Now, you know, when Jesus was going to raise up Lazarus from the dead, then likewise, he says, Lazarus, our friend, sleepeth, but I go to awake him. Now, in the same sense, we must understand Jesus speaking to these women and the parents that this daughter was asleep. Many times we read of people dying in scriptures and they fell asleep. This likewise we must place with what Jesus says now. And he went into the house. And he took with him his three disciples. They were favored. And he took the parents of these people and he put the rest outside. Then he went into the room. And when he entered into the room, there lay this young daughter dead as a corpse on the bed. What a sight this must have been, my hearers. Here enters the King of Life. Here enters he who is the giver of life, who is the taker of life, who is the upholder of life, and who likewise can restore life back again. He had restored life back to the young man who was being carried out from the city of Nain. This is the second time now that we read that Christ restored one back to life. And he came to the bed, and he took the maid by the hand, and he spake unto her, and said unto her, I say unto thee, arise. And immediately life was given back into this young maid's body and soul. And she immediately arose from the bed and walked before her parents in the room. Oh, my hearers, he, when he speaks, communicates life. His word is a life-giving word. When he said, arise, life entered into this young maid, and she arose from this bed, and he commanded them to give her something to eat. Oh, I can just about picture. Suppose you were there. Suppose it was your daughter. You were the father and mother of it. Oh, what would you do? If you had someone like that that had come into that room and raised up that child again, I think the parents, they fell down at his feet in adoration, in wonder for what he had done. Even the disciples were filled with wonder and amazement. Last week we heard that they were filled with wonder and amazement when he controlled the winds and the sea. He spake, and the wind subsided, and the waves came to a calm. And now he speaks, and life comes back into this person's body. How filled with wonder and amazement were the disciples, and likewise the parents. And he commanded them not to say anything to anybody about this. But you may be sure that these wailing women who went around through the town, they likewise must have carried this from person to person. For this was one great miracle that Jesus had performed in the city of Capernaum. And now, my hearers, let me take you back again to the beginning of our narrative. We find this man, Jairus, falling down before Jesus, pleading with him, praying to him, that he would come to his house and put his hand upon his daughter. Have you ever been given to come to Jesus? Have you ever seen anything of the beauty, of the excellency, of the loveliness, or of the pity and of the compassion and of the mercy of this Jesus? I am sure if you have, you have fell down at his feet in adoration, in worship. Oh, my hearers, what a blessing if we may come to the feet of Jesus. Yea, what a great blessing if we may experience what this woman experienced that I have been talking about. Oh, that woman, she came to his feet and told him all the truth about herself. Have you ever been given to do that? Have you ever come to the feet of Jesus and told him what a great sinner you are, how lost you are, how undone you are, how guilty you are, how wretched you are? You know, it's so easy to say these things with the mouth. And that's the trouble with most of God's people. They want to get to the feet of Jesus. They want to tell him the truth about themselves, and they find there's no truth within them. Oh, if God would only give them to be truth within. They tell him with the mouth and with the mind, and it seems to be nothing but lies most of the time. Oh, what a blessing if we are made truth before him and may tell him all about ourselves. This ruler laid at his feet, and he confessed unto him just what had been taking place in his house, and he desired him to go along with him. And Jesus consented and went with him. Oh, my hearers, if Jesus goes along with you, then you have a friend that sticketh much closer than any earthly brother. Oh, what a friend he is to resort to in all troubles and in all tribulations. It may be that you may have, just as this man had, he had a daughter that was sick, that was nigh unto death. How many parents have children, daughters? But they may not be sick, they may not be nigh unto death, but they have that plague of sin within them. Do we carry our children to the Lord in prayer, in supplication? Is it our plea, Lord, do come into the heart of my son or my daughter, and do deliver them from that great plague sin? What a blessing, my hearers. And we find that Jesus went along with this ruler, and he came to the house, and he performed a wonder. He raised this child up from the dead that she was in. And so, my hearers, every one of us are dead in trespasses and sins, and it is only Christ who can quicken them, who can make them alive. Oh, I would entreat parents to come to Jesus with their children. Oh, bring them to him. Lay them before him in prayer and in supplication. And oh, if he should stretch out his hand upon them, then they likewise will be made whole. They will be quickened. They will receive a new life. They will receive something that shall never be taken away from them. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, when we are made alive from the dead in this life, quickened and given to live here below, already to his honor, to his glory. May God in his mercy bless the feeble lesson this afternoon to your immortal souls. That's all for today.